Man, what a wild week it has been over here on this end. How has your week been?
Oh, it's been good. I've been on vacation. I've had a staycation where you just sit at home and not do anything. So I've been watching a lot of TV.
You've been watching a lot of TV, a lot of movies, things like that, which sounds great. Have you been watching any sports or anything crazy? Man, let me ask you this. Did you happen to see old LeBron and his son are united on the same team? Bronny got drafted onto the Lakers?
Yes, I saw that. I saw that Bronny got drafted on the Lakers, and I'm like, oh, you know they had to be doing that as a favor to LeBron. And they were also like, oh, yeah, like we're going to get a whole bunch of money out of this. So you know that was a smart business decision on their end.
Oh, yeah, for sure, for sure. So that was a little interesting. And then as we're recording this tonight, you know, it's not going to drop until Monday, but when we're recording this, the old presidential debate here in the United States is on for our international listeners. And, man, it's been interesting so far, has it not?
I would just like to equate it to 2 fourth graders fighting each other. That's basically what it's like. If you ever seen 2 fourth graders fight, with the exception of they're not talking bad about each other's moms, but it's like, no, you're a horrible person. No, you're a horrible person. You're like, nah, you're a liar. No, you're a liar. And that's pretty much how it's going. I could sum it up in a nutshell.
Well, that's politics for you. Always acting like 2 fourth graders fighting. Well, anyways, I'm Micah.
And I'm Chris.
And this is the Donut Box Podcast. So, Christopher, another episode, another week. We're back to our regular scheduled program after the free flow. How you feeling, man?
It's been great. And I know that we haven't done this in a while. And we referenced it last week about how we're now being listened to in 6 continents out of the 7. And I just wanted to shout out some of our international listeners, like in Brazil, Ecuador, Honduras, France, Belgium, Switzerland. All in Europe, of course, over in the Philippines and Australia, Canada, and then, of course, we have a whole bunch of states stateside.
Yeah, man. I'm just like, it blows my mind that our voices have been heard all over the world, and yeah, I'm super grateful for it, man. It's interesting. I'm excited for it to keep growing, and it's interesting always seeing a new dot on the map, because some of these places I've never heard of before, and it's, you know, give me a little insight, and I've learned about some places just from the listens we've gotten, so it's been awesome.
As soon as you were saying that, the we are the world.
we are the children.
And I just had the music video of them all singing in the studio and bobbing their heads to the song. I don't know why that popped into my head.
My favorite part is Bob Dylan's goofy behind in that thing. I don't know why. Yeah.
I think my favorite part is Lionel Richie, Stevie Wonder, and Michael Jackson.
Yeah. Because
they're just so into it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think that's what's funny about it is you watch, like, the group stuff, and Bob Dylan is, I don't know, I wouldn't call him awkward, but, you know, he's kind of not into it. I wouldn't say he's not into it. He's into it, but he's just Bob Dylan, so it's kind of just funny to watch. But anyways, so it is another week. We appreciate our listeners. And guess what? We're starting off our first segment, which is the old-fashioned donut. We got a oldie but a goodie story. We actually told this one in season 1, and we're looping back to it because we're all the way midway through season 3. And Chris, man, this is a story that's near and dear to your heart, is it not?
Yes, it is. This is one of my favorite stories to tell, just because it's like, I don't know, some TV sitcom stuff that would happen to us. So this is when I was a senior. I had already graduated and I was done with school, and we were on the way to moving to Texas, and Micah's family was going to move. And at that time, my mentality was not a good mentality. It was like, oh yeah, all these people have wronged me and I'm going to get even with them. I'm going to get my revenge, so to speak. And I remember us like just sitting around, and we were like, yeah, I don't like this person. I don't like this person. I don't like this person. How are we going to get even with them before we leave for Texas? We got to go out with a bang, Micah and Chris style. Like, we got to do something big that's going to get people talking. Because a few months earlier, that's when Micah had pepper sprayed me in the church parking lot. And that was like, oh yeah, a level, but I was like, we gotta top that. We gotta top
I
that.
mean, there was even some people that you were upset with from that pepper spray event that were a little had some dumb responses, we'll just say that. So there was some of that, and then there were some other people who, I mean, let's be real, they were rude people. They just didn't treat people right. And so we decided, I think it was, something that happened in my high school at one point, was X-lax brownies had been given out in the lunchroom. And so we came up with this idea and we said, you know what? We should get the materials for X-lax brownies, right? We should give it to these people, like make a list of all the people that we should give it to. We should just give these out and let X-lax take its course. And for those of you who don't know X-lax, it's a laxative. It helps you go number two very, very well. And so, yeah, we were gonna do that, and we kind of determined that plan wasn't gonna work, huh, Chris?
No, because we were like, oh yeah, it'd be a little sketchy if we just only offered those people from our list a brownie, and then we knew it could easily be traced back to us. And we were dumb at that age, but we weren't that dumb. We were like, oh yeah, how can we get away with
And
this?
not just that, but there would have been other people there too, probably with some of these people that would have been like, why can't I have a brownie? And what are you going to be like? No, you can't have one. And then all of a sudden they get sick, and then it's very, very obvious too. But yeah, go ahead, Chris. Sorry.
Well, so we decided, okay, this is what we're gonna do. We kind of like, I don't know, we bounced some ideas around, and then we decided, you know what? Right before church, they have what's called the choir room where all the choir people hang out. And of course, it's typical for them to have snacks and all that stuff, right? And we're like, so what if we just put the X-Lax brownies in the choir room for the choir to enjoy? They're not gonna know it's X-Lax brownies. And then we could sit in service and see our work unfold as all the choir people would be squirming once the X-Lax brownies hit their stomachs.
Because we had planned it perfect to where it was going to be delivered right when they were performing their first service, right? They were doing that whole thing, and it would have been delivered right by the time they were coming off of the stage. They would have enjoyed it a little bit, and according to the instructions, it should be hitting right as they entered stage and started singing once again. So it was one of those things, and so Chris and I, we went to Walmart, good old Walmart, and we got all the ingredients. And don't get me wrong, like, I remember we got some decent ingredients. And the only thing that I remember is we didn't skimp out on the X-Lax. I remember it was extra strength, too. It wasn't just regular X-Lax.
Not only did we got X-Lax, we got because the X-Lax came in like the chocolate bars, so
Yeah.
we baked those in, but then we also got milk of magnesia.
That's right, and that's what we used as part of the yeah, that's right, we did do that. And so it was gonna be very potent. Like it was gonna be very, very potent. And so we went back to my house and we baked up the brownies and we hid the pan under the bed. But we kind of yeah, in my room. Why did I say it myself in the third person? I'm not sure. But didn't quite work out because we kind of left some evidence behind. Chris, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, so it was great. We had it all planned out. We even while we made them, we were trying to clean up. We were like, okay, like clean all this out, throw all this away. And so we put them in the pan, put them underneath the underneath Micah's bed the Saturday night. So Sunday morning, we're getting up, getting ready for church. And all I know is as we're getting ready and we're about to leave, because the friend that was going to deliver them fell through, so we were going to have to deliver them ourselves.
Which was going to be difficult because the path to get back there, there was only a handful of ways you can get back there. And being seen was going to, especially with this pan of brownies, because again, these people are going to eat this. They're going to be tracing this stuff back. We can't be seen. And there's also cameras too. So there was a certain way we were going to have to go to avoid cameras. It was this whole thing. Yeah, with that friend dropping out, it was a bad deal.
Yeah, so we're getting ready and we're almost ready to head out the door. And all I know is Micah's paternal unit, his father, is like, boys, come down here. And we're like, what? He was like, is there something you want to tell me? And I was like, no. And anytime he said something like that, I knew he knew what was up. He was like, "So you boys been doing a little baking lately?" And I was like, "What do you mean?" And he was like, "Where's the brownies?" And we're like, "What brownies? What are you talking
It's
about?"
like, don't know what you're talking about. Listen, prison rules, man. It's like, don't know what you're talking about.
It's like, I found the receipt and the eggs in the fridge. And I had all the ingredients, and he just pulled out the receipt that had all the ingredients on the receipt, like the X-lax, the eggs, the brownies. And that was the one thing that we forgot. And I'm going to take responsibility because I feel like I forgot to take the eggs and the receipt and throw them away. So I left the eggs and the receipt as evidence. So I messed up. So I'm going to take full responsibility.
I think we both did, and but you know what I also remember? I remember we denied so much to the point where it was like, I don't even remember how it got to this point, but it was just like, okay, it was like, okay, where's the brownies itself? Because if you didn't, you know, bake it, I think we said like we didn't actually bake the X-lax in there. We just made brownies, and he was just like, okay, you want to eat the brownies? It was just like, yeah, I don't think so. It's like, okay, yeah, we did. We didn't put the X-lax in there. And so the jig was up, and we got a good talking to, and we had to throw them away and all this other stuff.
It was of the thing of, after all this church has done for you and all you boys and this and that, this is how you're going to leave on your last Sunday. And da, 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 da. And we were just like, well, at that point, I didn't care. But it was like, after all this church is done for you and da 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 da, and I was just like, well, I'm never coming back.
Yeah, and especially, you know, we were going to leave and whatnot, so it's just like, why not go out with a little bang, a little entertainment, and then, you know, we knew the whole thing would blow over, and especially out of sight, out of mind, they wouldn't have thought it was us.
Yeah, but it was a good thing that we didn't, because our senior pastor had stomach issues. he had surgery on his, like, intestines,
like,
or
could have killed them kind of stuff if he had things like that. And then there were some other people that if they would have eaten it, there could have been some innocent bystanders that definitely could have had some.
Yeah, because you like never know what physical issues people have, and then come to find out like you accidentally kill somebody because you made the brownies. And I mean, it's a good thing that we probably got caught, so we didn't like hurt somebody or kill someone, you know.
Yeah. But at the same time, too, I really am curious. I'm glad we didn't, you know, try it or anything like that. But I am curious. That was extra strength, man. I mean, milk of magnesia and the extra strength X-Lax chocolate bars baked in. Yeah, that would have been quite a bit. Quite a bit.
Yeah, I just want to go to an alternate universe where that actually did happen and see what would have become of myself.
It's just like we're still in a penitentiary.
Yeah, serving time in a Georgia State Correctional Facility. I wouldn't have lasted. We probably would have been getting out just now. You know what I mean? They probably would have given us like 10 years.
Yeah, think about that. We wouldn't have lived. Anyways, yeah, who knows, man? Who knows? But I'll tell you what, man. You ready for the next segment?
Yes, I am.
Well, our next segment is the jelly donut or the jail report. Chris, what are you doing, man? What's going on?
Well, we haven't done this in a while, but it's called Tie Your Shoes Cause You Tripping.
Oh, man, I love this one.
This is about people that have either been on horrible first dates, or they found out their partner or somebody was cheating in a unique way. So this is the cheating kind. The one about cheaters who got caught.
I love it. Yeah, gotta love this kind of stuff. Gotta love, like, cheaters, too.
All right, so this first one, this guy says he used to work for a vacuum cleaner company, and he heard a story about these people coming in angry that their vacuum, it just wouldn't work. It wouldn't suck up the dirt or anything. So the salesman grabbed a coat hanger to unblock the hose, because I guess the hose was jammed up. And he proceeded to pull out 5 to 10 used condoms. The wife gasped, and the husband said, "Well, I don't use those, do I?" And he stormed out of the shop. So it was the wife that was cheating with another man, because the husband was like, "Yeah, I don't use those." And Yeah, found out she was cheating because the vacuum cleaner got clogged up.
Dun, dun, dun. Can't vacuum up condoms, lady. That's how you get caught. Tie your shoes because you tripping.
But obviously, it was over a long period of time because he found out 5 to 10.
Exactly. I'm just saying it happened quite a bit. Oh, man. Tie your shoes. That's terrible,
This
dude.
next one. This guy says a friend of mine was suspicious of her husband cheating as he went to quote unquote play soccer with friends way too often. He always came home and he jumped in the shower as soon as possible because he would quote unquote sweat while playing. So one day she sewed his soccer socks together, and when he came back and he showered, she saw the socks were still sewed, so he wasn't playing soccer at all. So I guess he was evidently cheating. Yeah, that's wild.
So she, man, she had a foolproof way. She probably talked to her mama. How can I tell? It's like there's an old-fashioned method you can tell. Tie his socks together and see what happens.
Yeah, or I'm not advocating, but or the guy was like, "Oh, these are sewn together. I'm not gonna use these socks." But the fact that he would play soccer a whole bunch and then come home and directly get in the shower, yeah, that kind of tells you something.
For sure, man. It's pretty nuts.
All right, this next one, we are not advocating for or against this, but this is just the facts of the case, okay? So, this lady says that her ex-husband and his family smoked a lot of weed, and his sister, kids, and nanny were visiting from out of state for a few weeks. When it was time to fly home, they left their stash of weed at her mother-in-law's house because they didn't want to take it on the plane, obviously. Her husband asked if she would pick it up because she was nearby, and she agreed. She doesn't smoke, but she was willing to carry it in the car for him. To her surprise, she found a note from the nanny to her husband saying she was in love with him, and she was so happy for the time they had together. Obviously, she thought that she thought he would get the weed instead of the wife. So, yeah, the nanny wrote a letter, and wife found it through the weed, bro.
Tie your shoes because you're tripping. Shouldn't have been messing around like that. That's why you never have it in writing, stupid.
Yeah, definitely not, man. And again, if you are keeping any kind of notes, anything in your jeans pocket, and you're trying to cheat, your lady is gonna find it, I promise you.
It's like if you do it, yeah, it's like if you're doing wrong, you better hide it. You better hide it really bad, because I mean, I don't know, man. Ladies have that radar. I've never cheated like that, but I'll tell you this much. It's like I've been accused of cheating and they'd be looking at every little thing. So it's like if I had been, you know, they would have caught you.
This guy was dating his girlfriend. They were both in college. Well, she actually became his fiance, and so they were engaged to be married. And she went to go study abroad in Belgium. First red flag. About 2 weeks before his fiance was supposed to return, he stopped into a nearby coffee house that he had noticed down the block. To his surprise, he found an old childhood friend, Claire, who was a waitress there. They hadn't seen each other since high school, so they caught up. And so Claire told this guy that she was engaged as well to a man named Ben, who was completing his course of study by working on an internship in Belgium. He couldn't believe the coincidence, and so he told her about his fiance Meg, and that man, if she's over there in Belgium and he's over there in Belgium, they have to know each other, right? Like, they didn't think nothing of it. So a couple of days later, he stopped in for a cup of coffee at this place, and the waitress Claire looked extremely upset. She told him that she had just gotten a call from her Aunt Sue the day before, and Aunt Sue had just returned from Czechoslovakia, and that something very strange had happened. While they were touring Prague, Sue and her travel group had stayed in a local hotel, and the next morning she had run into Claire's fiance Ben in the lobby with a female companion by the name of Meg. She said that he introduced her as a student from America and that they worked together, but it was very awkward and they both looked very scared. Claire said that she immediately called Ben, and after several tries over the course of a day or so, she got him on the phone. She asked him about the chance encounter, and he said he had been kind of expecting her call and ended up admitting that he had been seeing Meg pretty much the entire time they were in Europe, spending weekends and holidays traveling around with each other. So wow, like man, small world, dude.
Dang, yeah, that is small world. That's also something else too. If you're gonna be going out with these people, you gotta be careful going out in public. But dang, that's nuts.
Here's the thing, like in college, and you have a relationship, I'm not saying it's impossible, but it is a lot of work, and it takes special people to make it work, and it also makes special people to make it a work if they're going to study abroad, because you're like in college, you're wanting to have fun, like you're in a new country, and you're gonna be like, well, my fiance or my girlfriend or boyfriend will never know, and then that's when bad things happen.
Oh, yep, that's when it always happens.
That's what happened to my boy Travis.
Oh yeah, that's what happened to T. Old
Yeah,
T.
they weren't official, but they were heavily talking, and like they were about to make it official, and then she went to Spain, and then of course she said, oh yeah, like I'm gonna keep in contact with you, da da da, but then she ended up meeting this guy, and then she broke my boy Travis's heart.
Crazy stuff,
All
man.
right,
Crazy.
last one. This one is pretty messed up. I feel kind of bad for this lady. So this lady was pregnant with her, I don't know if it was her fiance or her husband or boyfriend's kid. She went to the ultrasound to determine the gender of the child, and the guy was late, right, to the appointment. So her boyfriend, partner, whatever, was late. So she was just on Facebook waiting to be called and waiting for him. He was tagged in some photos in her news feed from a gig he'd been at on the previous weekend. There was a random girl who was all in the photos of him, and they were all over each other. Also, they were making out in the background of one photo. He turned up after the lady was called in for the ultrasound, and while the technician was printing the images, she told him that she knew all about it. He went off and on about how she was making it up and that he'd never do that. Obviously, he accused her of lying to compensate for cheating on him and so on. When I pointed out that there were photos, he stormed out and left me there. My now ex-husband demanded constant access to all of my social media and cell phone messages and was constantly accusing me of cheating, even though he had no reason to think I would do that. I had nothing to hide. So,
Yeah, that
yeah,
is
it was
wild.
wild.
Tie your shoes 'cause you tripping. Jeez, Alou. Some of these stories, man, I'm telling you. That's just wild.
Yeah, it's wild, man. It's just sad.
But I ain't in the dating world no more, man. Shoot. Some of this stuff.
You know what Chris Brown said?
Them hoes
These
ain't
O's ain't
loyal.
loyal. That's
Yeah.
what he said.
Yep, we already know.
This is kind of a rabbit hole, but have you seen like the people that have been like breaking up over the Chris Brown meet and greets, because he be like taking like or their girl be like taking like kind of intimate raunchy photos with Chris Brown at the meet and greet?
Yeah, I don't be surprised though, and he'd probably be taking some of them girls, getting them that herp, that Chris Brown herp, same herp he gave old that old Rihanna gave him.
Mr. Steal Your Girl.
It was just the old girl, give him that herp. Anyways,
That's all for that one.
oh man, that's a crazy segment. Well, let's move on into our next one, man, and that is our donut hole. So, man, do you have a quiz for me, or what's going on?
Yes, you know I have a quiz. You know that's my thing,
Aw,
bro.
man, let's do it. What's going on?
It's a 90s trivia quiz.
So just pretty much general 90s.
Yeah, general 90s trivia.
All right, sounds good, man. I'm ready for it.
Which 90s girl group is the best-selling girl groups of all time? A. Destiny's Child, B. The Dixie Chicks, C. The Spice Girls, or D. TLC?
I'm gonna say Spice Girls.
That is correct. Spice Girls. You know, for the life of me, I don't even know who's in the Spice Girls.
Ginger Spice, Posh Spice. I don't remember. Wasn't that lady from America's Got Talent, the Melanie whatever? She was a Spice Girl. I don't know. Anyways, yeah,
All
continue.
right, which celebrity is not one of the celebrities that passed away between March through August of 1997? A. Tupac, B. Biggie, C. Gianni Versace, or D. Princess Diana?
Like, go, hold on. You said the which time period?
Between March through August of 1997.
March through August of 97.
Three of these celebrities all passed away within 5 months of each other.
I'm going to say Versace was.
It's actually Tupac. So Biggie, Gianni Versace, and Princess Diana all passed away within 5 months of each other.
Dang. That's pretty wild.
All right. Which child star became the first to be paid $1 million for their role in a movie? A. Jonathan Taylor Thomas. B. Macaulay Culkin. C. Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. Or D. Amanda Bynes.
I'm going to go with Mary-Kate and Ashley Olsen. The Olsen twins.
It was actually Macaulay Culkin. And I'm sure you're thinking, oh, it was Home Alone. Actually, it was My Girl that he got paid $1 million for.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, okay. Wow, okay.
I mean, that boy had to get stung by all them bees.
I guess so, but I guess, you think that's worth $1 million, I guess.
Yeah, bro, he got stung by all the bees. That was sad. I'm not going to lie. That's the sad part of that movie.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
All right. How old was Tiger Woods when he won his first Masters Championship in 1997? A, 19. B, 20, C, 21, or D, 25.
He was 19, wasn't he?
He was 21.
Oh, he's 21. I know it was young. It was like, yeah, that's what everybody was impressed with, was he was, wasn't he like one of the youngest to ever do it?
Yeah, I'm like, think about that. That man won a Masters Championship by 21, and I'm almost 30, and like, you just be like, look at my life.
If you'd ever played golf.
Not Neville.
Ever.
All right. When Nirvana broke up in 1994, what new band was formed by one of the former band members? A. Smashing Pumpkins, B. Foo Fighters, C. Korn, or D. Asking Alexandria?
Wasn't it Foo Fighters?
Yes, sir. It was Foo Fighters. You know, as much as, and I know I'm going to get hate for this, I'm not that big of a fan of Nirvana.
I mean, it's definitely a style, man. Are you a fan of kind of that style?
Grunge? No.
Oh, there you go. I mean, it's kind of, I've never met anybody that's like, grunge is okay. It's either, it's kind of like you like it or you don't. I don't know. It's definitely an interesting, wasn't it David Grohl that went over there? Isn't that the band member? Yeah.
That's exactly who it was.
Yeah, he's a popular one.
When was the first QR code invented? A, 1991, 1994, 1997, or 1999?
I'm going to say 97.
It is 94.
94, okay. I know they were messing around with barcodes a lot in the late 80s and early 90s, but QR codes, it makes sense.
Yeah, it was actually a Japanese company that invented them.
Yeah, and it's amazing it just took a long time to catch on.
In 1996, which animal was cloned? A cow, a horse, a dog, or a sheep?
It was a sheep.
Yep. Dolly the Sheep. I remember that was like a big thing.
I had to do a whole study on that thing for, I don't remember what it was. I think it was a college paper or something where they were talking about, is it right to clone things? And you had to form an opinion. It's a very interesting, it's kind of a weird paradox because in some ways it's good. But have you ever seen the movie The Island with Ewan McGregor? Where basically, yeah, that's a pretty good one to watch. It's basically, there's a bunch of clones, and that's their whole purpose is if you have a problem, like you need an organ transplant or something like that, they just kill your clone and take it from them, essentially. But then the clones fight back. It's a pretty good movie.
Interesting. All right. How many championships did the Chicago Bulls win during the 1990s? A, 6. B, 5, C, 7, or D, 4?
It was 6.
Yes, sir. It was Chicago Bulls, Michael Jordan.
Oh, Michael Jordan playing basketball and baseball. You know that man had to have, well, he didn't play them both at the same time, but there were some people like Deion Sanders and then Bo Jackson who literally played them at the same time. They would have to fly to one city to play for a baseball game and then fly to another to play in the NFL the next day. That had to be wild, man. It's nuts. I don't think that's allowed anymore. I don't think you're allowed to do that anymore.
I don't think so. In 1992, which state had the largest mall? Philadelphia, Massachusetts, New York, Minnesota. Sorry, that meant to say Pennsylvania. Sorry, in 1992, which state had the largest mall? Pennsylvania, Massachusetts, New York, or Minnesota.
It's Minnesota because it's Mall of America, isn't it? Yeah, that thing is massive, and it's kind of an indoor roller coaster, like in the mall.
It is wild. Did you know that actually a WCW filmed a wrestling a couple wrestling shows there?
Like in the Mall of America,
Yeah,
it's a
like in
whole
the mall, 'cause they
complex.
were yeah, they were like trying to get business, so they were like, okay, we're gonna put this event on, so we need like crowd numbers, and we couldn't sell they couldn't sell any tickets. So like, let's put it in the mall, and then we'll get a crowd naturally for taping.
And it's a huge mall. It's massive. It's huge. So I'm sure they did get the numbers.
All right. Last one. Which video game was the first to be played in outer space? Pong, Frogger, Tetris, or Super Mario?
It's kind of interesting. Isn't it Tetris?
Yes, sir. It is Tetris.
Yeah, I did pretty good on that quiz, actually.
Yes, you did. What was your favorite part about the 1990s?
Man, there's a lot of nostalgic stuff. I do miss, and this kind of makes me sound like an old fogey, I feel like the customer service in the late 1990s and early 2000s was definitely different. I don't know. I just remember, and maybe it's just because you were a kid, but I feel like people were nicer. Like they would, I remember going to different places and getting like free samples and like people being nice, and I don't know, I just don't feel like that no more.
I miss the old school Nickelodeon. I feel like Nickelodeon with the green slime and everything, that's like typical 90s.
Yeah, they try to do that green slime now, but it's different. I mean, it's kind of different.
Yeah, it ain't the same. It ain't the same. There was just a vibe. There was an aesthetic to the, like, when you had shows like The Amanda Show, all that, all the good shows.
Yeah, exactly, man. I also miss I miss some of the musical things that were going on. I don't know. 90s had such a typical music with or like different music. I feel like they were playing around with the flutes a lot and then like bongo drums and some of the weird, you know what I'm talking about? Like one of the big ones, if you're watching shorts or reels or, you know, if you're on TikTok or whatever, there's kind of like a 90s nostalgia song with it's like its synth sounds and things like that. It's like, I don't know, 90s, it just feels like there was a lot of kind of different sounds going around music wise too.
Well, that concludes that, and that's a great segue into what fries my donuts. And Michael, what fries your donuts, buddy?
I can't stand when people just give up so quickly and don't research or look into things, and I'll give you a few examples. So I can't stand it. So sometimes, you know, I'm a manager, so I have to be on call. It's once a month. I have to be on call for a weekend, and pretty much that's only for emergency use only. And I kid you not, sometimes I will get calls from people in the middle of the night, and it's like, hey, I'm having this problem, blah, 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 blah. And it'll be normal stuff, normal parts of their job. They haven't looked up how to do it. There's like clear guides, there's clear ways to do this, clearly defined processes. They've been through training. They've done this I don't know how many times, but they don't even look. They don't even look for, okay, maybe, and there's plenty of ways that you can look at. Okay, here's how the process went. You can even look at past ways that it's gone. They have ways to do that. They won't look at anything. They'll just call you and say, "Hey, I'm having this problem. Tell me what to do." And it's like, why don't you can just look around? Or they have a coworker who's literally on the clock with them. Why don't you ask them, "Hey, what have you done in this situation? Why are we calling the on-call person who's supposed to be there for emergencies in the middle of the night for something because and not even look it up?" You know what I mean? That would be for somebody like me, that's my last resort. That's if I looked up a whole bunch of stuff, couldn't find it, couldn't find it, couldn't find it. It's like, "Hey man, I'm sorry I couldn't find it. So, I need the answer." But it's not like that. It's as long as, you know, all you have to do is look. And then another example. So, I'm helping somebody watch a house while it's being sold. And so there are some different things going on. But I got a call and it was like, yeah, the realtor is at the house and they can't show the house because the AC isn't turning on. And it was like, okay. So I go over to the house and the realtor says, yeah, I couldn't show the house because the AC's not working. And I walk up to the thermostat, and all I did was hit their big arrow that said, the big down arrow a few times, and the AC kicked on. And I was sitting here, and they were like, yeah, we couldn't figure out how to work it. It's like, did we try to hit the big arrow that's right here? I feel like we didn't try to do anything. I feel like we just looked at the thing, and because they kept getting hung up because it said, no Wi-Fi. You could hook it up to the Wi-Fi, but it works without it. All you have to do is hit the button, and it's like you didn't try to play around with it. You didn't look at all the, everything's labeled. I don't understand why people, why do people just not try? Why do people just like give up and just like, oh, well, I'm calling it. I'm giving the white flag. I need somebody else to figure this out. Why are people like that?
Because, Micah, we live in a world where if we want the answers, it doesn't take any effort for us to find it. It's just given to us. You go into Google, you ask, how tall is the tallest man? You don't have to do any work. All you have to do is just type it in, bro. We are living in a world where we don't have to do any work to figure it out, or we can just pay people to figure it out for us. Or, my thing is like at least try to like YouTube it at first, you know what I mean? Like try to YouTube something and then, but people have gotten so lazy because the answer is always just given to them. They don't have to work for the answer.
Yeah, and I mean, what's interesting is, in the case of the gal at work who calls all the time, or the people who call at work all the time, a lot of the times it's right there in front of them. It's 2 clicks away. You didn't have to do it. It probably took more effort to dial my number and call me and ask for this than to take the 2 clicks and read it. I don't. It's just people just decided. But no, you're absolutely right. They expect the answer, and they expect the answer now because they can get it. That way, every other, but we're seeing byproducts like this where people aren't critically thinking anymore and aren't even giving really effort anymore to, try to problem solve.
Heard someone say, the greatest tool I have is my cell phone because I can call anybody I need to come fix anything for me.
And that is, it's a blessing to be able to have that, but I think there's a balance, right? You don't want to lean on that too hard.
Yeah, I think there's an accomplishment when you do figure out how to do something. Like, yeah, the other day I had to Google how to fix something like on my toilet. But like I watched a YouTube video on it and then I did it. And it's like, okay, now I know for next time, right? Like there's nothing wrong with learning how to do something, but you gotta actually try it. Like now it would have been one thing if I were like, oh, I'm not gonna figure it out. I'm just gonna call the plumber. You know what I mean? Like, I mean technically, and we've talked about this before, technically it's my apartment complex's responsibility to fix it. They were not getting back to me at a reasonable time, and this was a serious issue that was affecting my water bill. So steps had to be taken.
It's like, gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah, you gotta do what you gotta do to make sure, because it's not like they're gonna reimburse you the extra money it's costing you
Heck
either,
no.
so.
But yeah, no, you're right. People just need to put in more work to find the answer.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a mentality thing. It's an attitude thing, and people just being lazy, man, and it fries me up, but
And I think that's why a lot of people are frustrated in life because they aren't putting in the work or the time or the effort to figure out why they're frustrated in life. And so then they just give up and they're like, well, my circumstance isn't going to change, or how I'm feeling about this isn't going to change, or this is just the way I am. And they're not figuring out why, or they want just someone to just tell them. And it's like, no, you got to do the work.
yeah, exactly. But, and man, not a lot of people are willing to do the work, but oh well, it's their problem, not ours, I guess.
They can come work these hands if they want to. They got a problem.
Yeah, these hands are rated E for everybody. Come get you some. All right, man. Well, I tell you what, we can get into our next segment, which is our mystery donut or our improv segment. And Chris, we're just doing a bunch of favorites today, I think, because we're gonna do one of our favorites, and that is our black preacher voice.
I love it. Let me think of a scenario. Oh, I think I got one. I got one. Are you ready?
Yeah, you got one. We can make one.
Having to get a tire changed at a tire shop.
Having to get a tire changed at a tire shop. Okay. All righty. Do you want to start or you want me to start?
You can start.
Oh, brother.
I've come before you today because I have a flat tire. I was out in the street, and the next thing I knew, I was driving. And just like Ezekiel in the land of the dry bones, I had to pull over and get out in the heat because a nail was in my tire. And young man, I need your help because me and my friend here, we're here and we're on our way to a conference and we need to get over there. And oh, Jesus. Tell him, brother.
Oh, let me tell you, brother. We were driving and this nail got in our tire. And it's not on the middle of the wall. It's on the outside, which means we gotta get a new hole tire. But there shouldn't be no nails in my tire, because there's already nails in his hands and his feet in the cross. Can I get somebody to testify for me today?
Amen. All right. And just like my brother said, just like there has been nails in his hands and his feet, there shouldn't be nails in the tires. So I need you to put it on the rack. Put it on high, just like you would put the name of the Lord on high. Because I know you, sir. You're a righteous man. And you're going to put that vehicle on the rack. And you're going to take that tire off. And you're going to put the new tire on. And you're not going to charge us nothing, because we men of the cloth. Can I get an amen?
Amen. Just like my brother said, you got to put it on the rack. You got to elevate. Just like you elevate the name of Jesus. See, some of you can't figure out what the problem is until you elevate. I said elevate. Your problem, your situation unto the name of Jesus. Some of you still trying to identify what the problem is through earthly means here on the ground. But it isn't until you take your situation and you put it on the rack that you can identify that problem. And the Lord can take that nail out of your tire. See, that nail might be a bad relationship. That nail might be an overeating problem. That nail might be the deacon board who won't let me approve to have a water park on church grounds, come to somebody. But you gotta take that nail out your tire.
And some of y'all, I can look in this room right now, and I can tell you that you've been flat, flatter than that tire over there, because you've been out of air. You've been out of the air because only God can fill you up with the air of life. And you've been out of that air for too long, and you've been riding on rim, and you've been saying, I don't know how I'm gonna make it. Am I gonna bend my rim today? Am I gonna stretch it even further? And you say, oh Lord, can I make it another mile? And he tells you, child, if you could act better, you wouldn't have this problem, and you could be riding on all fours. And it wouldn't be just a regular tire, it would be the all-terrain tire. It would be the deep groove tire. And it would take anything, any rock, any mud, any sort of weather that it would take, and it would be able to drive right through it. But instead, you choose to drive with the nail in your tire, and you choose to be half full, half empty. And let me ask you, does anybody, do you know how the Lord feels about being half in, half out of something? Can I get an amen?
Amen, brother. And while we're here at the spiritual tire shop of taking us on a spiritual healing journey, while we're in here, some of you need a tune-up. Some of you need a wheel alignment, because you've been veering to the left in those waters of tinder. You've been veering into the right, into that alcohol and the weed smoking. But you need Jesus. I said Jesus to come on in and get your tire alignment. And when you start walking with him, it doesn't matter which way the steering wheel goes, the Lord shall direct your path. It says, let your word be a lamp to my feet and a light unto my path. And some of y'all are living in here about to have a spiritual blowout because you ain't got your tires in alignment. Can I get an amen?
Not just have your tires in alignment, you've driven on flats. And just like he said, a lamp into his feet, a light into his path. Guess what? You ain't got your headlights on, because that's the way you're trying to live. You know what? I think it's time for a prayer as they finishing up our tire at the tire shop. What do you think of closing prayer?
I think so. All right, I'm going to start us off. Dear Lord, we come to you today. The Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Lord Jesus, we ask that you would take the spiritual nails out of our tires, Lord God. that you would take the spiritual nails of Deacon Brother Elder Williams, who is trying to block the plans of God by not allowing me to build a water park on your property. You said, taste and see that the Lord is good, and Lord, we trying to enjoy your creation with the water park, Lord. But we got this little nail in the tire, Lord. And I pray that you wouldn't just give us a patch, but that you would give us a full tire alignment. Can I get an amen?
And I pray for all the people in here who want to live with their headlights and tires and misalignment, that you would see the ways, that you would see what we look like as an example, that we could be the lamp unto your feet and a light to your path, as long as you come to Mount Zion Baptist Church over on Fifth Avenue on Sunday morning. Because I'll tell you this much, brother and sister, everybody in this room is welcome, because all of you are sinners. I've been sitting here for this long while he's getting this tire patched up, and you know what the Lord told me for each one? You're all driving with nails in your tires. You're all driving in all four nails in your tires. You're all flats, and you're riding rims. So I expect to see each and every one of you on Sunday, you sinners. And you know what? You shall be forgiven, and the nails shall be removed in your tires in the name of Jesus.
I had one while we were doing. I was like, brother, you know I like my feet and my top let back. You see me riding 24 with a chop on the back. Can I get an AB?
Yeah, just start doing rap lyrics and in that format. That's
It'd be
great.
Like that one preacher where you saw him, where he was what was it? He was doing that Michael Jackson song, but he was
song,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, but he was like, devil, you have been defeated. Oh, I think it was Smooth Criminal. Yeah, he was like making up the songs of Smooth Criminal, but he was like putting Jesus lyrics to it. It was funny.
Oh, he's done some other ones too. I've seen some other ones pop up. He's done some speaking of Tupac, I think he did a Tupac song too. He's done a few different things. But anyways, man, and it's always fun doing that voice. I always love doing that for improv. But hey, man, we've almost come to the end of another episode, and you know what that means. We always got to finish off with the Eclair Donut, and that is our positive advice for the week. I don't remember who went 2 weeks ago, so I'll go ahead and start it off. You know, it's hard to remember these things, and you know, it's really hard to, when you have a really long list of things to do or you have big goals in mind, it's really easy to get caught up in the fact of, oh man, I'm not doing enough because it doesn't seem like I'm moving forward enough. A lot of times in life, you know, growth isn't linear. And what I mean by that is it's not a straight line. You know, it takes ups and downs. It's like a, you know, it's peaks and valleys. It's a roller coaster. And just because you're putting in a lot of effort and you're in a valley and it doesn't look like it's doing anything, that doesn't mean that it's not about to shoot up there. And the next step is it's just about to explode. So don't think that your small steps are not working for you. And because, you know, success, again, is not a clear A to B process. It is ups and downs. And so if it's in a down point, it only got to go up, right? So just keep holding the faith and trust the process, because, you know, good things always happen, but it always starts with those baby steps.
Mine is definitely, like, you want to make sure that you check in on those check engine lights. You know, kind of not to go back to preaching about the tire analogy, but you know,
we're just gonna do preaching
on
full
car
analogies.
I mean, there is some truth to, you know, what the preachers were saying in the improv, but you definitely want to sometimes check in on that check engine light, you know, especially with your emotions. I know as guys, sometimes it's easy for us just to put those things away and not really pay attention to them, but I promise you, if you don't pay attention to them, they will come back, and you're gonna have to deal with it later on. So it's do you want to fix a $200 problem now, or do you want to fix a $3,000 problem down the road? So just make sure you're checking in with yourself. Make sure you have people that you can share those things with, that you can be accountable to, and just say, hey man, like, this is really what's going on with me, and I got to be honest with you. And those people don't have to fix it, but you know, they, for them just to be there to listen to you, or just for them to give you advice and be like, hey, like, this is my perspective from a third party, like an unbiased person. So it's good to check in on yourself. I think June is also like men's mental health awareness, but it kind of gets overshadowed by some of the other stuff in June.
Everything else, for sure. Yeah. No, it's real good, of course. You know, we've had a great episode of the Donut Box Podcast once again. We're over at the Trash Can Network and over at the Aviator Society over on Instagram if you're interested in all the flying stuff. We've even got some space news, the Boeing Starliner, all that good jazz, and how the crew is stuck up there, at least as of Thursday here when we're recording this. And it doesn't seem like a ton of people are talking about it. They're like, oh, it's just a test flight. But you know what? These people are stuck on the International Space Station because of problems. So that's pretty fun. We got a video up about that. And of course, we've been posting nonstop, just aviation videos, some other things, origin of sayings, that sort of thing. You ever wonder where giving somebody the cold shoulder or where close but no cigars come from? Yeah, well, you can find out on our channel over there. We got a whole playlist over it. So, yeah, Trash Can Network, there's all sorts of things. By the way, Chris, did you know that coconuts actually kill more people a year? Like, falling coconuts kill more people a year than sharks. We talked about that a few weeks ago, but we got videos on that, too.
What about, where does the origin of D's come from?
D's nuts. And on that,
I was hoping
oh, man,
fall into
listen.
It. I was hoping you'd fall into
Listen,
my trap.
I know what you're playing at. I know what you're playing at. I've known you too long to fall into those traps, sir. But anyways, I guess it's a good time to sign off here. I'm Micah.
And I'm Chris.
And we're taking this donut box out to the trash.